So I was asked to come here to talk about influencing a new generation of pro-life advocates. So I couldn't really think of a better way to talk about how to influence our young people than to talk about how I was influenced as a young person and what brought me here to what I'm doing today with Lutherans for Life and here in front of you as well. I was a youth when I first got involved, and I see every single day in my job what youth are capable of and what they're doing to influence others and to serve their community. So I want to talk a little bit about the things that have influenced me. And I have to start by saying I'm so fortunate that so many of the people, with the exception of my parents, who had the greatest impact on what I'm doing today are in this room, which is really exciting and honoring and just very humbling for me today. So I'm a product of the amazing life-affirming work of the Lutheran Church, of our pastors, our teachers, of our families. I'm also a product of countless hours of mentoring, training, the incredible trust of Lutherans for Life, who found me, invited me to join them, trained me, and then took a chance on me and sent me out into the world. I'm honored to be here, and I'm honored for the chance that they took on me and this ability I have to do this work. So my story started, we talked, Lila was 9, and I think Molly said she was also 9. Well, I was 11. I remember the first time I heard the word abortion. I was in 6th grade. I think I heard it on the radio. My dad likes to listen to talk radio. So I heard the term on the radio, and I asked him, well, what is abortion? And he told me, and my reaction was similar to those you've already heard. I was completely horrified. That is ridiculous. That's awful. How can that happen? And I knew that this was something I wanted to change. So I was a good Lutheran kid, and I used Planned Parenthood as an example in my Fifth Commandment project and confirmation. And I was thinking about these issues. But for the longest time, there never really seemed to be any tangible way for me to make a difference. I grew up in Giddings, Texas, a very small town between Houston and Austin. There were no abortion clinics. I had never met anyone who had abortion or that I knew of. I never had heard anyone talk about it. So that just, it didn't seem tangible. It didn't seem like something I could really connect to. Started to change in high school, especially my senior year. I was in a government class at a public high school. And the teacher thought it would be really fun to get people fired up about controversial issues. And that was kind of how he taught the class. Let's throw out an issue and have them go at it and argue with each other. Great, great lesson for 18-year-olds. So of course, the first topic that got brought up in that class was abortion. And I was ready for that. I was excited to talk about it. I had read my catechism a lot, and I knew a lot of things from what I've taught in church. And so I was armed with scripture. But that was all I was really armed with. I knew what the Bible said about life, and I knew what scripture said about life, but that was pretty much it. So then there was another girl in my class whose name was also Laura, which is really interesting. She was very pro-choice and not a Christian. And she had all kinds of information that I had never heard of about abortion. And she was very knowledgeable. And I found myself at a loss to come back to her. So I would go, this was kind of the early days of Wikipedia. I would go online and I would start researching and learning. And in that research, I saw pictures for the first time, and that really had a huge impact on me. And I started learning the other arguments so that I would come back to class, and lo and behold, we'd bring up abortion again because people really got into that discussion, and I would be more prepared. And the more I learned and the more I researched, the more I knew this was really something I cared about, something that I wanted to make a difference in. But at the same time, I was still in that small town, still struggling to figure out how I could make a difference. I'm in college. I went to Texas A&M University. Whoop. I heard a couple. I went to Texas A&M, and I was ready to find a way to get involved. And the first week on campus, going through kind of the main area, there was a 40 Days for Life table. And this very friendly college student yelled out, "Are you pro-life?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And I ran up to her table, and we started talking. And she said, "Well, I want you to come out to an abortion clinic and pray." And I said, "Ha ha ha, no thank you." I politely took her information, shook my head, and said, "This is not happening." I went home and I kept thinking about it, and I called my dad, my pastor dad. I call him Pastor Daddy sometimes. And I called him, I said, "Okay, this is what they want me to do. I don't know how I feel about it." He says, "Well, what do you think?" And I because he never really told me what to do. He always just kind of made me decide for myself. So I thought about it, and I said, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't think it's what I want to do. And he said, if that's what you decide, that's great. Just keep going, and God will show you where you need to get involved. A week later, I was at lunch with my pastor. I went to a campus ministry there at A&M, and our pastor had lunch with the students on Friday on campus. So we're having lunch. He said, hey, Laura, you're really pro-life. Will you help me organize the block we've signed up for 40 Days for Life? And I said, well, I wasn't going to go. I don't think I want to be a protester. He said, well, forget that. Just go once. Go once, see what it's like. Come and talk to me about it. But just give it a chance, have the experience, and then we'll talk a little bit more. So I was like, okay, I'll do it once. I'll do anything once. So I went out to 40 Days for Life, and the sidewalk counselor who was out there that day, one of the nicest people I've ever met, and she greeted me by name. She knew I was coming. I was on the list. Laura, you're here. I'm so excited to see you. Gave me a big hug, and I knew right away this was going to be a different experience than I had expected. It was still uncomfortable. It still took me 5 years out there before I really started feeling comfortable. And even now when I go out, there's still those twinges of discomfort, which is natural. But I knew for the first time that there was something I could do, that there were ways I could get involved. And becoming active, starting to make an actual difference in people's lives, just got the ball rolling. And I began to feel a call that God wasn't just calling me to stand in front of a clinic, but God was calling me to do something more for life. So I went to grad school, wanted to work at a pregnancy center, did an internship at one, loved it, but God always has a plan more than what we have for ourselves, and made a connection. My dad actually made a connection with Dr. Gibbs, who made a connection with his wife, Renee, who's on the board of Lutherans for Life. They gave me a call and asked a 22-year-old with no experience to serve on the board. And then from there, they gave me my own program. So God just led me exactly where I needed to be, put the right people into my life. And now every day I get to work with students who are like me, who are struggling to find a way to do something about an issue they cared about, who knew that this is wrong, who know what the truth is, but don't know how to share that truth with others. That's what I get to do right now. So right now I just kind of want to highlight some of the most important points from kind of that story, the things that influenced me and how you can take that and use it to influence others. The three things I found that are most important when you're engaging youth is you need to be relational, you need to be active, and you need to be intentional. And we're going to break those down a little bit. You might see some familiar faces in these pictures. Many of them are out in the crowd. My students are here today, so it's very exciting. So relational. Focus on building relationships, not building numbers. So oftentimes in youth ministry you hear, well, where are the kids? There's only 5 or 6 that are coming to things. My first servant event with Lutherans for Life, we had 6. My second servant event, we had 6. My third sermon that we had 7, and I told them, you broke the record. But the numbers weren't what was important. What was important was the quality and the fact that I've had the same students coming back year after year, not only to the sermon events, but coming to DC and coming to other events and wanting to learn more and calling me and texting me and asking me how else they can get involved. So it's not necessarily the number, but it's the relationships. It's the quality of those relationships you're developing. Personal invitations. I would never be where I am today if it weren't for that personal invitation from my pastor to go out to 40 Days for Life. He sought me out. He connected me with a ministry opportunity, and he encouraged me to take a chance. That personal invitation. Mentorship. I also would be nowhere if it weren't for my mentors. Renee has been just incredibly influential in training me and building me up and encouraging me. I have had multiple mentors, mostly older women who have just taken me under their wings with various ministries, LDML, things like that. But that mentorship, that knowing I have that person with experience and knowledge who I can go to with my problems, who I can go to with my joys and my successes, but also my struggles, mentorship is really important. And lastly, seeking them out. You'll have the rare person like me who's usually the first to volunteer for things and the first to jump on things, but most kids aren't going to be like that. They're going to wait for someone to seek them out, to show an initiative, to tell them, hey, I think you'd be perfect for this. So seek them out. Watch your students. Watch the kids. See where their strengths and their joys are, and then help connect that to a ministry because they're ready. They want to go, but they just need to be helped a little to find where they need to go. So seek them out. The second one is active. You need to be active and include action in your pro-life ministry. Students are inspired more by action than more often than they're inspired to act, if that makes sense. I was inspired by going out and serving. I wasn't inspired by people telling me to go do it. People can tell me to go do things a lot, but until I actually go try it for myself, I'm less likely to keep doing it. So the action is what inspires the student more than just talking about things. And then connecting first through action, and then the leadership will come later. A lot of times we have this idea that we want to develop student leaders. We want student leaders. We want young leaders, which is great, and that's absolutely true. But sometimes we need to walk with them first before we expect them to lead. So connecting them through service, and then watching that leadership develop the more and more experience they have. So connect through action and leadership will come later. I wanted to throw out some service project ideas. I get this question a lot. Okay, you want us to act, you want us to do things, but what are we supposed to do? What are some things that high school students can do? What are some things that college students can do? So I have a lot of pictures. These are all things that high school students and college students have done. And they're doing a great job at it. Service project ideas. When we talk about life issues, we're not just talking about the beginning of life, we're talking about the end of life, all stages of life. So I always take my students to senior centers, shut-in homes, things like that, shut-in ministries. Christmas caroling, we did that just a few months ago or a couple months ago with a group down in Texas. And afterwards, we spent half an hour just talking to the residents after we sang with them. And the students were blown away by the conversations they had. So Christmas caroling, bingo, there's some adopt-a-grandparent programs. We did this when I was in confirmation where we would go and we'd have a buddy. And we go once a month to the nursing home and we'd meet with our buddy and talk to them. Girls would paint their nails. It was a lot of fun and it was able to build a relationship with someone and learn and grow from their wisdom. So there's just a few. On the beginning of life, community baby showers. This is actually a picture from the Bulldogs for the Unborn group. Are you guys out here? Yay! Bulldogs for the Unborn out at Concordia University, Nebraska. This is a picture from a community baby shower they did, where you stand outside of a Walmart or a Target or something like that and ask people for donations as they do their shopping. Prayer vigils, that's where I got started. Students can do prayer vigils. Baby bottle fundraisers, a lot of you have probably done those at your church. A great idea with the students is to do it as a penny war idea. So competition between classes, who can get the most money in their jar for some kind of incentive. So baby bottle fundraisers, we did that in Sunday school. It's definitely something you can do with your kids. Other activities, the group out at Lutheran High School St. Charles has done this before. Teens talk to teens, where the high school students will talk to the junior high kids about relationships and what high school is going to be like and just encourage them and give them information one-on-one on a peer level. It's great for adults to tell kids what high school is going to be like. It's better for high schoolers to tell kids what high school is going to be like. Parents' night out, babysitting, things like that. Connecting with special needs organizations, doing buddy walk, things like that. There's a lot of opportunities. So these are just a few ideas. I wanted to show you a quick video of one of our servant events. This was our first Y for Life servant event. We're gonna hope it works.
This weekend has been one of the most inspirational weekends that I have ever experienced. I am so glad that I got to spend this time with these people because at first I was very afraid because I didn't know anybody, but getting to know them and getting to understand what they believe in and everything that they stand for, I really want to further myself with them and I want to make sure that this is what I want to dedicate my life to, helping people and helping women that think that they don't have any other options. And I really think that this is amazing what the people are doing. Life is good, eternal life is better. Life is good, eternal life is better. Life is
How is weekend gonna change what you do now?
Well, I'm starting to really consider doing something in pro-life movement just because if no one else is going to go out there and do it, I really want to.
Totally mortified Kathy. She's sitting there bright red. She was one of the students in the video. So this is just an example of some of the ways that Y for Life can help you. We lead these servant events across the country. We'll bring it to your community, to your neighborhood, and we introduce your students to life-affirming ministries in your own area so that they don't have to go across the country to serve their community. They can do it in their own backyard. So if you want to talk more about that, you can talk to me afterwards. Intentional, this is the last part. Intentional in what you do and intentional in why you are doing it. What purpose does it serve? Why are you doing things? There are some dangers of doing things just for the sake of doing something. Students are smart, they know when you're just trying to fill time. They wanna know why they're doing what they're doing, who is it helping, what is the purpose. They want to feel like they've achieved something, and they want to know that they've achieved something, not just feel it, but actually know that they've made a difference. So be intentionally, set an agenda and stick to it. There's nothing worse than a meeting that goes on forever with no point. We all know what it's like to be in one of those. It's the same thing when you're working with students. They don't want to just sit around and talk. They want to actually do something, stick to the agenda, and connect activities to the mission for life. Try to stay on target with what you're doing. If you're trying to encourage life leaders, make sure that the activities you're doing are directly connected to life ministries. Intentional in why you're doing it. Ask yourselves, why do you want to get youth involved? We hear all the time that we've got this dying demographic, and so I talk to older groups in Lutherans for Life, and they say, well, we want youth leaders so they can take over for us when we die. I've actually had those words come out of people's mouth. And it's great, or when we're too old and we can't do it anymore. And that's great, but I try to encourage them that you're training leaders for now, not for eventually. Our students are not leaders eventually, they're leaders right now. And we're training them for the future. And that future may be in your hometown with your Lutherans for Life chapter or in your congregation, or it may be across the world, wherever God takes them in their ministry. But we're training leaders to go out and serve everywhere, not just in our little pocket of the world. And sometimes that's hard because We've built things up. We want our ministries to continue. We want our congregations to do well. And that's a great goal and a great mission to have. But our students are not just there for us. They're there for the whole world that they're going to impact when they go out and serve in their lives. So keep that in mind of why we're actually doing this, to train leaders for everywhere. And hopefully other people are training leaders that will eventually come to you. So it's a big picture that we've got to look at. There's a few opportunities and challenges that I found working with students in the last few years, and some of it just by being in the same demographic, millennial generation of the high school and college students we're working with today. One of the opportunities I found is this prevalence of social justice and rights language that we see. Human rights is the pretty cause of our day. Everyone wants to talk about human rights, and we talk about human trafficking, things like that. Everyone wants to get involved in that next big human rights cause. Life issues are a huge human rights cause. And so we've seen, the more we talk about human rights, the more we talk about social justice, the more we talk about our right to be who we want to be, to live our lives the way we want to live them, to love who we want to love. This is the language of our young culture. The more we're seeing that pro-life demographic tick up in our young people, because it fits right in. If we're free to love who we want to love and be who we want to be, we have to first be, and we first have to live. And it's starting to make sense with them. So that's a huge opportunity, plugging right into that social justice language when you're working with students. At the same time, we have a culture of tolerance. And earlier in this conference, we heard that moral relativism is dead in academic circles, but it's much alive in the freshmen. And that's still very true. But I don't even think moral relativism is the right word. It's more moral tolerance. I will talk to students who will say adamantly, I think abortion is wrong. I don't think it should be legal. I totally support you. But I'm not going to tell someone else that their view is wrong. It's literally like, oh yeah, abortion is terrible, but if you have a different view, that's cool too. All views are cool. I mean, it's relative, but not necessarily personally relative, if that makes sense. So there's this culture of tolerance where the worst thing you can possibly do is tell someone else they're wrong. And I was terrified when I was a high school student and a college student of making someone think I was judging them. And I think that holds true today, that a lot of students are just afraid to speak what they know is true because they don't want to come across as judgmental. So I usually use, when I'm talking to high school students, the example from John 4 of Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and how he confronted her sin, but he showed her a way out of her sin. He wasn't judgmental. She was facing the judgment of all those around her. Jesus wasn't judgmental. He didn't judge her, but he didn't let her get away with it either. He showed her a way out of her sin. So that's one of the examples I use to try to combat this culture of tolerance. Students don't have to be judging in order to speak the truth to their peers. And lastly, new technology. It informs new attitudes about the beginning of life. We've heard this before. One of the reasons we see the pro-life culture increasing is because of everyone putting their ultrasounds on the fridge. But it's not just changing pro-life, increasing pro-life people, but it's changing the arguments of the pro-choice side. There was an article I read about 2 years ago. It was right after the election, and I think it was on Salon, which is, once again, a very, very pro-life website. But it was a pro-choice feminist advocate who was saying, we've got to stop saying it's not a baby. Everyone knows it's a baby. Everyone knows it's a person. They can see the feet. They can see the fingers. We got to stop saying that. What we've got to do is emphasize the fact that it has less rights than the mother. The mother's rights come first because she's autonomous and the baby's not. And reading that, a lot of people would read that and be horrified, but I was reading and I started smiling a little bit because I saw that argument, how easy it is to unravel that little argument about a woman who is strong and autonomous having more rights than someone who is weak and vulnerable. And that goes against our entire idea of human rights and social justice, once again, that our kids really care about. So it changes the argument for them too and creates new opportunities for us to reach them. So opportunities and challenges when working with this generation. I wanted to end today before I take questions, I wanted to leave some time for questions, but I wanted to end today by saying our youth are awesome. We talk about wanting to get youth involved, the future of the movement, but they're really the movement now. Our youth are doing incredible things. So to highlight this, I wanted to do a little experiment with the kids we have out here, students we have out here in the audience today. So if you are a high school or a college student, please stand up. Okay, and this is gonna make you guys stand up and down, so I apologize right now. If you've ever been, if you currently or have ever been involved in a life group on your campus or at your church, please remain standing. Most of them, that's awesome. If you've ever volunteered at a pregnancy center, maternity home, some kind of ministry like that, please remain standing or stand back up if you sat down. Pretty big number. If you've ever participated in a prayer vigil, 40 Days for Life or some other type of prayer vigil, please stand up. And lastly, if you've ever played a leadership role in a life cause in a group or led an event, something of that sort, please stand up. So these are your leaders. They're not the leaders of tomorrow, they're the leaders of today. They are influencing each other. We have influence on them, but they have influence on us. The youth are changing our movement in a positive way. They're propelling us forward. I have learned more from my students than I think I've taught them, much more than I've taught them. I've learned about them. I've learned how to change how I talk about things, how I approach things, just from being in relationship with them, growing with them, serving with them. They have taught me so much, and they have a lot to teach us. So I don't want to stand up here and act like because I'm an adult, I have so much that I can teach them. They have so much that they can teach us. So listen to your students, work with them, walk alongside them, be willing to change, be willing to adapt from what you can learn from them and their experience. I am just in awe of all of you who are here. And just thank you so much for being willing to be here, to leave school, to face the questions on campus. I was talking to a couple of students and people were asking my students right here, asking them, where are you going? Why are you going? It's a great opportunity. So thank you so much for being here. I also wanted to highlight this picture right here. This is a picture from last March, our first ever Y for Life Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit. And Y for Life Campus Ministry is an initiative to get a life group or life team on every single Lutheran campus, college campus on our country. Eventually, we'd like to expand that to high schools, but there are many more high schools than there are universities, so we're starting with our universities. As of today, we have 5 active, working, they've got leadership, they're having events, 5 active life groups on our Concordia campuses. Chicago, Ann Arbor, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and California, Irvine. We have 5 active groups. And we have another one at Texas that's kind of in the development phase. They've got an advisor, they're working on their leadership, and they're working towards having an active group. We have 4 more we gotta work on, so anyone from those other campuses, talk to me and I can help you. We're hosting our next event in March, so once again, if you have student leaders in mind on those campuses, please let me know. We will invite them, train them, give them the tools they need to go back to their campus. And then we don't just leave it there, but we provide ongoing mentorship to these student leaders as they equip their own campuses. Other student groups, we've got high school groups. We've got groups on public high school campuses, groups on college campuses. I think the latest statistic with Students for Life, I think they said 800, over 800 active student groups on public and private high school and college campuses across the country. That is awesome. Our youth are awesome. And I just wanted to tell you that, kids. You guys are great. So keep up the good work. Please come to me if you have questions. I'm talking to the youth now, but also to the adults. If you have questions, if you want to know more about campus ministry, if you're struggling to get a group started, or just want some more encouragement, that's what I'm here for. Please let me know. I can take questions for about 10 minutes, I think. I have to 11, right? Yes. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
Well, it's not necessarily a question. You were talking about youth motivation and like youth leadership. 1 Timothy 4:12 tells us, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example of speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So even the scriptures are telling us as youth to step up to the plate, and we are the leaders of tomorrow. We need to be stepping up in this whole organization that is going on against this evil that is being done to our country.
Thank you. He pointed out that even the scriptures tell us. I thought it was perfect that today was the Festival of St. Timothy, because I point to that verse all the time about do not let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but set an example. And that's what Timothy was called to do, and that's what you are called to do. That's what we're all called to do. But it specifically points out that our youth are capable and called to do this work today. Any other questions or comments? Kathy. The next Y for Life event, we're actually, our next sermon event will be done in conjunction with a Missouri District Youth Gathering. So they're kind of organizing it and we're just hosting it. I don't have a lot of information, but it's sometime this summer, the end of June. Beyond that, if you ever want to host a servant event in your community, at your church, with your school, please let me know. We just held one in Dallas. Basically, the host takes care of the logistics, and I take care of the programming and finding the service locations and that kind of thing. It's a great way to introduce students to ministry and also create opportunities for you as a youth group and as a church to follow up on those relationships in the future. Any other questions? No? No? Okay. Oh, did I see a hand? Right there. Ah.
If you're a younger group and you're trying to seek out mentors, do you have any suggestions for doing that? Because sometimes, like on a college campus, we're only surrounded by people who are our age. Is there a way to kind of, I don't know, find some more experienced people to be resources?
Absolutely. She asked if you're a younger group looking for mentorship, seeking out that mentorship, is there a way to find that? Call me, first of all. Lutherans for Life has a network of life teams, of chapters, of people all around the country who have been doing this kind of work for 30, 40 years. I can connect you with people in your area. If there's not, I'll get on the phone and I'll find someone in your area. First of all, call me. Second of all, talk to your churches. Find out if they have a Lutherans for Life chapter. Find out if they have a life team in their congregation. That's another great resource. But it doesn't just have to be a for life mentor. Talk to your LWML group, or talk to your caring ministry, other ministries in your church, and see if they have people who'd be willing to come alongside you and work with you. That would be my suggestion. Another great resource, Students for Life. They have a network across the country. They have staff members who will work in your region as well. So we're a resource, they're a resource. Don't just stop with one, but seek out all those different opportunities. Any other questions? I think we're good. Thank you so much.